The film you're about to see explains how a human being is created and which stages he goes through to come into existence. This film is about you. Let us now take a brief trip in time and go back to the past. Let us study an extraordinary story, one full of miracles. Let us see what a human being once was. A single cell in the mother's womb. A helpless thing in need of protection. Smaller than a grain of salt. You too once consisted of this single cell, just like everybody else in the world. And then this cell divided, becoming two cells. Then they divided and became four, then eight, and then 16 cells. The cells continued dividing. First a piece of flesh emerged, then this piece of flesh took shape. It developed arms, legs, eyes. It grew 100 billion times larger than the initial cell and 6 billion times heavier. God performed a string of miracles and created the human being you are watching in this film, who was once just a drop of water. He revealed to man how he created him in the Quran in these words. Does man think that he will be left uncontrolled, without purpose? Was he not once a drop of ejected semen? Then he became a clot. So he created and fashioned him and made him into two sexes, male and female. Is he who does this not able to bring the dead to life? Wrapped up in our daily lives, we are most of the time unaware of the one most important miracle taking place before our very eyes. This miracle is the miracle of creation in human beings. The first miracle of creation begins in a woman's body, in the organ called the ovary, with the maturing of a single egg cell. There is a long journey ahead of this maturing egg. It will first enter the organ known as the fallopian tube, then travel through this for a long distance and finally reach the mother's womb. Shortly before the mature egg is released from the ovary, the fallopian tube gets ready to catch it. With sensitive movements, it tries to locate this egg cell on top of the ovary. As a result of this search, the fallopian tube finds the maturing egg and pulls it into itself. And the egg's journey has begun at last. The egg is obliged to travel the whole of the fallopian tube, but it has no organelles to help it to do this, no fins or feet, for instance. For this reason, a special system has been created for the egg's journey. Billions of cells on the inner surface of the fallopian tube have been charged with ensuring the egg reaches the womb. These cells position the tiny hairs on their surface, called cilia, so that they lie in the direction of the womb. In this way, they send the egg cell in the correct direction, as if passing a very valuable item from one hand to the next. Consider this for a moment. These tiny hairs are part of a highly intelligent plan and have been situated just where they need to be in just the shape they need to be. All of them together, they perform a carrying motion in a unified direction. If one part of these cells did not carry out their function, or if they performed their function in different directions, the egg would not reach its target and birth could not take place. God's creation, however, is flawless, and every cell carries out the task assigned to it without error. In this way, the egg cell progresses straight to the place which is being specially prepared for it, in other words, the mother's womb. But the egg cell, being so carefully carried, has a lifespan of only 24 hours. If it is not fertilized within this time, it will die. It needs a vital material in order to be fertilized: the sperm, which will come from the male body. Sperm is in fact a cell, the function of which is to convey the genetic data of the male to the egg cell in the woman's body. When it is examined closely, sperm looks just like a machine specially designed to carry this load. The front of the sperm is covered with armor. There is another layer of armor under the first, and under this second layer lies the cargo carried by the sperm. In this cargo are 23 chromosomes belonging to the male. All the information concerning the human body, right down to the finest detail, is carried inside the chromosomes. In order for a new human being to emerge, the 23 chromosomes in the sperm have to unite with the 23 chromosomes inside the mother's egg cell. In this way, the first foundations of a person's 46 chromosomes will be laid. The armor system at the head of the sperm will protect this valuable cargo from all danger right through its journey. But the design in sperm is not limited to this. There is a very powerful engine in the middle of the sperm. The end of the engine is connected to the tail of the sperm. The power produced by the engine turns the tail like a propeller and enables the sperm to move swiftly. Since there is an engine in the middle, it will need fuel to make it work. This need has been thought of, and the most productive fuel for the engine, fructose, has been placed in the liquid surrounding the sperm. In this way, the fuel for the engine is provided throughout the length of the journey it will undertake. Thanks to this perfect design, the sperms head rapidly straight for the egg cell. When the length of the sperm and the distance traveled are considered, it emerges that this is relatively as fast as a speedboat. The production of these miraculous engines is carried out in a most expert manner. Inside each of the testicles, the sperm production centers, there are microscopic tubes of a total distance of around 500 meters long. The production inside these tiny tubes works just like the conveyor belt assembly system inside a modern factory. The sperm's armor, engine, and tail parts are assembled onto one another in turn. What emerges as a result is a real wonder of engineering. We have to think a little in the face of this reality. How do these unconscious cells know how to prepare the sperms in the appropriate form, despite the fact that they know nothing about the mother's body? How have they learned to make the armor, engine, and tail that the sperm will need in the mother's body? With what intelligence do they assemble these components in the correct order? How do they know that the sperm will need fructose? How have they learned to build an engine that runs on fructose? There is but one answer to all of these questions. The sperms and the seminal fluid that they are placed in were specifically created by God for the continuation of the human race.
Kusura gelmiş olması gerekir. Halbuki şöyle bir düşünürseniz, sperma hücreleri baba organizmasında yapılmaktadır. Görevleri ise anne organizmasında husule gelmektedir. Ve dünya kurulalı beri, yani insanlık aleminin tarihinde hiçbir sperma yaptığı görevden sonra, anne organizmasındaki görevinden sonra baba organizmasına tekrar dönüp kendisini yapan hücrelere neler yaptığını, efendim hangi güçlüklerle karşılaştığını, görevinin ne olduğunu söylemek imkanına sahip değildir. O halde nasıl oluyor da sperma hücresi organizmada mevcut binlerce çeşit hücreden çok çok ayrı bir yapıya sahiptir? Sperma hücresi nereden babadan aldığı genetik yükü ileride hayat vereceği bir organizmaya götüreceğini biliyor ki başında, önünde bir zırh taşımaktadır. Sperma hücresi ileride bir hücrenin zarını delmek gerekeceğini nereden biliyor ki zırhın arkasına yerleştirilmiş bir takım kimyasal silahları birlikte götürüyor. İşte görüyorsunuz sperma hücresinin bütün bu yapısını, yaptığı görevleri, efendim üstlendiği olayları tesadüfen olması, tesadüfen yapması, hatta bilerek tekrar ederek yapması mümkün değildir. Burada Allah'ın yaratıcının kendisini nasıl görevlendirdiğini ve bu görevi nasıl mükemmel şekilde ifa ettiğinin en açık belirtisidir.
This wonderful planning in the design of sperm is in itself a miracle of creation. In fact, God draws special attention in the Quran to the creation of the seminal fluid in which the sperms exist. It is we who have created you. Why then do you not accept the truth? Have you ever considered that seed which you emit? Is it you who create it, or are we the creator? Some 250 million sperms at a time are sent to the mother's womb. This number is deliberately kept high because as soon as the sperms enter the mother's body, they find themselves facing lethal dangers. There is a dense mixture of acids in the mother's reproductive organs designed to combat bacteria. This acid mixture is also fatal to sperms. Within a few minutes, the walls of the womb are coated with millions of dead sperms. A few hours later, most of the 250 million sperms will have died. This acid compound, which is most important for the mother's health, is so powerful that it can comfortably destroy all the sperms that enter the womb. In that event, fertilization could not take place, and the human race would come to an end. But God, who created the sperms, has also created precautions against the dangers that they will face in the mother's womb. While sperm is being produced in the man's body, a basic compound is added to the fluid that contains the sperms. This compound partially eliminates the effect of the acid in the mother's womb. Thanks to this, a number of sperms pass the mother's womb and manage to reach the entrance to the fallopian tube. If you'll notice, the sperms all travel together in the same direction. But how do they find this right direction? How do they know where the egg, no larger than a speck of dust, is? The sperms find the way to the egg because another perfectly created biological system comes into action. The egg gives off a chemical signal to attract the sperms, which are about 15 centimeters away from it. The sperms head straight to the egg thanks to this signal. In short, the egg cell, which knows nothing about the sperms and has never come into contact with them before, calls them to it. Two cells, perfect strangers to one another, engage in communication. This reality is another proof that egg and sperm are created in the most ideal form for each other. Finally, around 100 sperms manage to reach the egg. Yet the race is not yet over, because only one sperm will be allowed inside the egg. So another race begins. There is one particularly important obstacle confronting the sperms. This is a hard protective layer surrounding the egg, which kills off any unwanted microorganisms that may approach it. It is also extremely difficult to penetrate. In order to overcome this obstacle, special systems again are created in the sperm. Underneath the armor in the sperm's head, it houses secret weapons, which it has so far concealed. These are tiny dissolving enzyme sacs. These little sacs make a hole in the protective layer by dissolving it, and the sperms can then enter this layer. While the sperm is moving ahead inside the layer, the armor at the end gets worn away, eventually falling apart. The falling apart of the armor is part of the perfectly functioning plan, because thanks to this, the second set of enzyme sacs inside the sperm can emerge. These enable the sperm to overcome the last obstacle facing it, in other words, the piercing of the eggshell. You are now looking at pictures taken by an electron microscope. The sperm has red-colored armor. This armor melts away, and the sperm enters the egg through its shell. The flawless conception in the coming together of sperm and egg does not end here. As soon as the sperm reaches the eggshell, yet another miracle takes place. The sperm suddenly abandons the tail, which has brought it all this way. This is essential, because if the sperm did not do so, the tail, which is constantly in motion, would enter the egg cell and destroy it. The discarding of the tail section resembles the way a rocket might jettison its spent fuel tanks on leaving the atmosphere, having no further use for them. But how can the tiny sperm make such a fine calculation? In order for the sperm to be able to make this calculation, it has to know that it has come to the end of its journey, and therefore has no further need for its tail. But a sperm is an unconscious biological machine, which has no intelligence and is not able to perceive its surroundings. God, who creates sperm, created it together with a system that enables the tail to fall off at just the right moment. The sperm, abandoning its tail, pierces the egg and deposits the load, in other words, the chromosomes, through the hole it opens up. The process of the carrying of the genetic data in this way comes to an end. As a result of the harmonious functioning of hundreds of different and independent systems, genetic data regarding the man's body reaches the egg cell. As we have seen, even just the union of sperm and egg is only possible thanks to a perfect planning and design, leaving no room for any coincidence. Even if people are not aware of it, the intelligence and planning seen in every part of these events are clear proofs that human beings are created by God. You are looking at an egg cell which is not yet joined with a sperm. The genetic data of the sperm and the egg are side by side. But one of the greatest miracles in the world is about to happen. Two sets of genetic information are about to mix with one another to form an entirely new human being. And union has happened. This first cell is called a zygote. It may be hard to believe, but inside this cell is all the information regarding a person as yet unborn. The unborn baby's eyes, complexion, and hair color, the shape of his face, and all his other physical features are encoded here. And it's not just his appearance, but also his skeleton, internal organs, skin, veins, and even the shape and number of the blood cells circulating in those veins, and all the other details of his body that are determined here. Everything is determined and written in this cell. From a person's features at age 7 to his features at age 70, shortly after fertilization, the cell will perform another very surprising action. It divides and two new cells form. Then these cells divide again and become 4 cells. The construction of a new human being has now begun. But why does the cell decide to divide? Why does it have the task of building a new human being? Who gave the cell the knowledge to build a new person? These questions lead us to the existence of God. Possessor of infinite intelligence and power, who created us, the world, the human being in that world, the cell in that human being, and the entire universe around it. At this moment, you're seeing the journey inside the fallopian tube of the constantly dividing and multiplying cell. This collection of cells is known as a morula. As the cell cluster divides and multiplies, another astonishing thing happens. Some cells start to grow different to others. The old cells gather in the center, and these are surrounded with the new cells, which are growing into a different kind of cell. A short time later, the group of cells in the center will form the embryo. In other words, the first cells of the baby to be born. And the group of cells around these will form the placenta, which will nourish the embryo. Cells beginning to grow different from one another and deciding to form the embryo or the placenta is accepted by the world of science as a great miracle. There is a secret order which makes these cells do this. About 4 days after fertilization, the dividing cells reach an area specially prepared for them, that is to say, the mother's womb. In order not to be expelled from the body, they have to cling on to the womb. However, the newly forming embryo is a round cluster of similar cells. It has no special hook or extension to enable it to cling on anywhere. So how does it stick to the wall of the womb? This too has been taken into account. When these cells reach the wall of the mother's womb, a special system goes into operation. What you're now seeing is a cell cluster which has just reached the mother's womb, seen now under an electron microscope. The cells on the very outside give off a special enzyme which dissolves the womb wall. In this way, the cells cling tightly to the womb and avoid being expelled from the body. The presence of these cells, which are both in the right place and which release the necessary enzyme, once more reveals the perfection of creation. Thanks to this flawless creation, the cell cluster is buried in the wall of the womb. This new living creature, which sticks to the womb and begins to grow, is now known as an embryo. This truth, discovered by modern science, revealed an important miracle of the Quran. In the Quran, God uses the term alaq to refer to the first phase in the mother's womb. Read in the name of your Lord, who created. He created man from alaq. Read, and your Lord is most honorable. Alaq, in Arabic, means a thing which holds on to somewhere. The word is even used in describing certain parasites which stick to the skin and suck blood. In other words, in the Quran, which was revealed to us at a time when man's knowledge of biology was still very limited, a word is used which exactly describes the embryo in the mother's womb. This proves once more that the Quran is the word of God. countless number of single-celled creatures live in our world, which is a planet full of life. All of these single-celled creatures multiply by dividing and form exact copies of themselves as they do so. The embryo developing in the mother's womb also begins life as a single-celled creature, and the cell multiplies by copying itself. In this situation, unless there were a design, the cells of the unborn baby would all turn out to be the same, and what eventually would emerge would not be a human being, but a shapeless mass of organic matter. But nothing like that happens, because the cells are not unsupervised. A few weeks after the sperm and egg have come together, the cells start to differentiate, obeying a secret command which is apparently given to them. We are now witnessing this change, which is described as a miracle by all scientists. The unconscious cells have set about building the internal organs, skeleton and brain. Brain cells have begun to form in these two small gaps. This view you are now seeing, taken under an electron microscope, is the first development of the brain. Brain cells will multiply rapidly here, and as a result of this growth, the baby will possess some 10 billion brain cells. We are now seeing the formation of the brain cells. Every minute, 100,000 new cells are added to this collection. Each new cell that forms behaves as if it knows where it belongs and which cells it has to make connections with. Each cell finds its own place. Out of an infinite number of possibilities, it joins only to the cell it needs to. There are 100 trillion connections in the human brain. In order for brain cells to be able to make these trillions of connections properly, they need to demonstrate an intelligence far superior to that possessed by humans. However, cells have no intelligence at all. And not just brain cells. Each of the dividing and multiplying cells in the embryo heads from the place where it first formed straight to the point it has to occupy. And each one finds the place designed for it. And here, whichever cells they have to form connections with, they also do. So who is it who makes these cells, which have no awareness, follow this intelligent plan?
Bir yere gelir, rahme gireceği yeri seçer ve oraya yapıştıktan sonra aynı olan bütün bu hücreler nasıl oluyor da birdenbire bir yerden bir emir almış gibi hepsi ayrı ayrı yerlere göç ederek ayrı ayrı organların oluşmasını sağlamaya çalışırlar. Bu açıkça gösteriyor ki bu aynı olan hücreler, ne yapacaklarını bilmeyen hücreler, bütün genetiği, DNA'ları aynı olan hücreler bir yerden bir emir alarak bazıları beyni, bazıları kalbi, bazıları ise diğer organları teşkil ederler.
Construction inside the mother's womb goes on unceasingly. Some of the cells undergoing change suddenly begin to expand and contract. Following that, hundreds of thousands of these cells come together, and these make up the heart. This heart will continue to beat for a lifetime. In a short while, we'll see a real miracle. These cells, which stand independent of each other, are in fact vein cells. Then these cells suddenly start to join onto each other and form connections between themselves, and the cells form the veins. Let's see that magnificent sight again. Thank you. How have these cells learned that they have to form a vein? And how can they do it? That is one of the questions that science has not yet found an answer to. The vein cells eventually make a perfect tubing system with no cracks or holes in it. The internal surface of the veins are smooth, as if made by expert hands. This perfect vein system will soon begin to carry blood to every part of the baby's body. The length of the vein network is more than 40,000 kilometers. That is almost as long as the circumference of the Earth. Developments in the mother's womb go on non-stop. In the fifth week, the embryo's arms and legs become visible. This bump will later turn into an arm. Some cells will then begin to form into hands. But in a while, some of these cells will do a most surprising thing. Thousands of them will commit mass suicide. Why do these cells kill themselves? The dying cells perform a crucial function. The bodies of these cells, which die along a specified line, are necessary for the formation of fingers. The remaining cells begin to eat the dead ones, and empty spaces appear in these regions. These empty spaces are the gaps between the fingers. Why do these cells make such a sacrifice? How is it that a cell can kill itself so that the baby can have fingers in due course? How does the cell know that its death will serve such a purpose? All this once again shows that all the cells which make up the human being are directed by God. At this point, some cells have started to make legs. The cells cannot know that the embryo will need to walk in the outside world. But still, they make legs and feet for the embryo. You are now looking at the face of a four-week-old human being. At this stage, two holes develop, one on either side of the embryo's head. It's hard to believe, but the eyes will be constructed in these holes. Development of the eyes starts in the sixth week. The cells operate with an unbelievable plan for months, and one by one form the different regions of the eyes. Some cells build the cornea, some the pupil, and others the lens. Each cell stops when it reaches the limit of the region it has to build. And the eye, which consists of some 40 different components, is constructed flawlessly. In this way, the eye, which is accepted as the world's most perfect camera, is brought into existence from nothing inside the mother's womb. It has been borne in mind that the person to be born will open his eyes to a world full of color, and an eye has been built which is ideally suited to its perception. The sounds this as yet unborn person will hear and the music he will listen to have also been taken into consideration. The ears which will listen to that music are also constructed in the mother's womb. These cells make up the finest sound reception instrument in the world. These scenes remind us once more that sight and hearing are in fact great blessings that God has bestowed upon us. God puts it this way in the Quran: "And God has brought you out from the wombs of your mothers while you know nothing, and He gave you learning, sight and hearts, that you might give thanks." All the information that we have so far given regarding the development of the embryo in the mother's womb has emerged from scientific research in the last 30 to 40 years. And this new information has enabled more new miracles of the Quran to be grasped. Until quite recently, it was thought that the bones formed at the same time as the muscles. But the latest research has revealed a truth that human beings were unaware of. First, bone tissue develops in the embryo, and then muscle tissue forms around the bones. The interesting thing is that this newly discovered fact was revealed 1400 years ago in the Quran. We then formed the drop into a clot, and formed the clot into a lump, and formed the lump into bones, and clothed the bones in flesh, and then brought him into being as another creature. Blessed be God, the best of creators. On the other hand, scientific research into birth has shown that the baby goes through three stages in the mother's womb. This fact is described in the following way in a textbook on embryology, Basic Human Embryology. Life in the womb goes through three phases: pre-embryonic, the first 2.5 weeks, embryonic, up to the end of the 8th week, and fetal, from the 8th week to birth. This information, which was come by with the use of modern technology, the result of long years of research, was nevertheless given in the Quran some 1400 years ago. These three phases in the mother's womb are announced in the Quran in this way: "He creates you stage by stage in your mother's wombs in a threefold darkness. That is God, your Lord. Sovereignty is His. There is no God but Him. So what has made you deviate?" The instrument you can now see on the screen is a medical tool which possesses some of the world's most developed technology. It is a life support system which people in intensive care are linked up to. But this entire roomful of high technology pales by comparison to another far more developed system of biotechnology. This superior piece of equipment is the placenta, which surrounds the embryo in the mother's womb and meets all its needs. The placenta is like a kidney dialysis machine, a heart-lung machine, and an artificial liver. It carries out all these functions at the same time. It is a wonderful design which enables mother and baby to live. The cells which make up the placenta recognize the food particles from the millions of molecules in the mother's blood and allows these to reach the baby. Another of the placenta's duties is to protect the embryo. The defensive cells in the mother's body flow towards the womb to attack the growing embryo. But cells on the very outermost layer of the placenta form a kind of filter between the mother's veins and the embryo. They allow the nutrient molecules to pass, but not the immunity cells. If the job of taking care of the growing embryo's needs had been given to a human being and not the placenta, then the embryo would not survive more than a few minutes. Because mankind does not possess the kind of technology, it would need to calculate the embryo's changing needs and then meet them. The only piece of technology sufficiently sophisticated to carry out this function is the placenta. This cord enables the link to be formed between the baby and the mother's body. This cord, which is cut and thrown away after birth, is in fact a true wonder of engineering and carries out vital tasks for 9 months. It contains one vein and two arteries. The vein carries food and oxygen to the embryo. Thanks to this, the embryo does not drown, even though it lives in a liquid-filled environment and its lungs are full of water. It does not die, even though its digestive system has not yet been constructed and it cannot eat. Both of these two basic needs are provided for the embryo through its placenta. The arteries remove the carbon dioxide and waste food products from the baby's body. Neither the mother nor the embryo growing in her womb are aware of these systems and processes. As the months pass, the baby in the mother's womb takes shape and grows. It becomes ready to step into the outer world. The time has now come for the final stage, birth. But there is a great deal of danger for the baby waiting in the mother's womb. The baby will be born by passing through the mother's womb and between her pelvic bones, posing a great threat to the unborn child. During birth, the baby's head will be squashed in these narrow areas, and its skull will come under pressure. But here again, a special precaution has been taken to protect the baby's health. The bones in the skull of the newborn baby are soft. Furthermore, unlike those found in adults, the bones which make up the skull are not fused together. Thanks largely to this, the bones are able to slide onto one another during birth. The gaps between the bones stop the skull from being crushed during this process. In this way, the baby is born healthily, and its skull and brain come to no harm. In the months that follow, its skull will harden, and the baby will lead its life in a healthy way. The stages of development that have been recounted throughout this film have happened to every human being in the world. Everyone was hurled towards the womb as a sperm cell joined with the egg, thanks to the specially created conditions there, and then began life as a single cell. Even before they had the slightest idea of their own existence, God gave their bodies shape and created a normal human being from a single cell. It is the duty of everyone in the world to consider this fact. And your duty is to consider how you came to be and to be grateful to God. Do not forget that our Lord, who created our bodies once, will recreate us after our deaths and will hold us to account for the blessing he has bestowed upon us. This is very easy for him. Those who forget their own creation and deny the afterlife are greatly deceived.